This is Cham.
And this is Chito.
And welcome to
the Nurse Hokage Podcast.
Pangarap mo bang maging nurse sa Australia, UK, o USA? Pero di mo alam kung paano magsisimula. Samahan nyo kami ni Chito para alamin ang isa sa mga unang hakbang ng proseso, ang English Language Test. At makakasama rin natin ngayon ang isa sa mga pioneers ng English Review Center ng bansa para sa ating Episode 10.
Wow!
Welcome guys!
Welcome sa Episode 10. We would like to thank everyone na nag-subscribe sa podcast, especially we have a large following sa Australia, mm-hmm. as well as UK and Ireland as well. So thank you. And no worries, we will continue to give good contents,
yes.
That will be laid-back conversations and stuff for you guys, just for nurses.
And this is a good sequel din sa ating episode 8.
Yes.
That wherein we talk about being a UKRN.
Yes.
So this is one of the primary
initial steps
para maging UKRN.
And we are fortunate enough today na nakuha po namin yung isa sa pinaka kilalang
mm-hmm.
personality with regards to IELTS and
yes.
OET. We would like to introduce to everyone Sir Irvin Neil Temporal.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Kamusta?
I'm good and I'm excited at the same time because this is my first podcast. So,
wow.
The content will be informative so the nurses can learn from.
Okay. So, Sir Irvin, can you introduce
yes.
Niners for our audience?
Sino nga bang Niners?
Okay. I'm Irvin Neil A. Temporal and then I started teaching IELTS in 2006. After 9 months of working in various review centers in Metro Manila back then, I opened 9.09er in April of 2007. Then after 3 months of operation, we became the number 5 in the entire Philippines.
Wow.
And then 3 more months, that October of 2007, that's when we became the number 1 IELTS agent in the Philippines.
Wow.
So fast forward to 2020, 13 years after our operation, we're still the number 1 IELTS agent in the Philippines. And then we ventured into OET and PTE in the last couple of years. So ACE Testing Hub Philippines also awarded us as the number 1 for OET. And then Pearson also awarded us as the number 1 for PTE. So safe to say, you are in good hands considering that.
Yes.
The lecturer, the one who's discussing the content for tonight, is someone who is credible and not necessarily a fly-by-night reviewer, as I've been doing this in the last 4 years of my life.
Yes. Thank you po talaga, Sir Irvin, for, having us.
Giving
us, yeah. Can you give us a quick what is IELTS? What is OET? Just for the students and, for the newbie nurses that want to go abroad, like go to English countries like USA, UK, Ireland, Australia. Yeah.
Well, IELTS and OET are more popular, but they are not the oldest. The first English examination is TOEFL, so that's Test of English as a Foreign Language. And you might be surprised that TOEFL is older than most of us because TOEFL is turning 6 years old this year.
Ooh.
So even before some of our parents were born, there's TOEFL. That is an American product owned by EDS.
Okay.
And then fast forward to 1989, that's when IELTS, International English Language Testing System, was born. And then fast forward to 2012-2013, that's when Occupational English Test was introduced. So, if IELTS is a British product, OET started as an Australian product.
Mm.
It is now co-owned by two institutions, so it's Cambridge, at the same time, Boston Language Institute. So, now here are the three most popular options for nurses if they want to apply for a visa in going to US, UK, Ireland, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand.
Yes. So, yun yung, yung parang definition for IELTS.
For the parang language
quick,
test.
Parang quick historical background lang.
Nice to know.
To know. Thank you. So,
I also want to explain to our audience that not all of these examinations are accepted by the 6 countries, so that they will have an idea.
So which is which? So ano yung
para sa ganitong countries?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'll start with TOEFL. So TOEFL, mm-hmm. because it's an American product, it is primarily required if you're going to the United States of America. So there are 2 English exams which are options if you want to go to US. So either TOEFL or IELTS.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pick a state first because it's the state that will tell you which English examination is required. Now, if you are a nurse who's totally undecided, like you're not yet certain if you want to go to America or to UK, better not take TOEFL. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot use TOEFL if you want to register as a nurse in UK, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, Canada. Mm-hmm. Now, here comes OPT. Occupational English test is accepted if you want to register as a nurse in Australia, New Zealand, UK, and Ireland, but not acceptable if you're going to Canada or USA as a nurse.
Okay.
IELTS is the most popular option because it's accepted in all six countries.
Mm-hmm. OET is for UK.
Four countries.
Yeah. UK, Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And TOEFL is more
American and Canada.
Canada. Yeah. And IELTS is yung siya yung parang universal.
Oh, siya parang universal.
Yes. Oh, so
if you are totally undecided, I suggest you go for IELTS because you can use one IELTS result for up to 5 countries. Mm. So with one result, you can use it for like 5 visa applications.
Oh, so that's one of the
isang dapat i-consider ng ating mga
yung parang versus. Kung magte-take man lang sila ng English test, better yung magagamit
mo sa mas maraming countries. Pero depende rin sa plan nila. Kung specific plans na sila, so yes, go for the TOEFL.
So, Servin,
yes,
what is the advantages and disadvantages when you take IELTS?
Okay, so the advantage of IELTS, you get to apply for several visas. Like, okay, it is accepted if you're applying for fiancé visa, spouse visa, working visa, immigrant visa, and student visa. So imagine, the only visa that does not accept the IELTS or that does not require the IELTS is tourist visa. But for all other visa applications, it is the most recognized English examination. And also to compare between IELTS and OET, IELTS is cheap. For our audience in the Philippines, it's 11,300 pesos. I'm just not sure how much it costs in other countries because it's not fixed. It's dependent on the exchange rate. Now, OET might be a little more expensive, like 587 Australian dollars. If you look at the conversion, approximately 35, 36 pesos per Australian dollar, OET should be roughly around 20,000 pesos. So for some nurses who consider this as fortune, they might not want to take that examination because that is actually more more expensive compared to their 1 month salary in the Philippines. So the advantage of IELTS, number one, it's most recognized. Number two, it is cheaper. But the disadvantage is that there are certain aspects of the examination which might not be totally applicable in the hospital setup. To give you an example, writing. First task is statistical writing, while the second one is essay writing. So imagine, if you are a nurse working in the OR or the ER, are you going to write a statistical report? Like, when you talk to your doctor, if you're doing an operation, you're not going to tell the doctor, hey doctor, the line graph shows us there was an increase. So now you're laughing because I assume you've also taken an examination. So there are certain parts of the test which are not really applicable for nurses in the hospital setup. Say, for instance, writing task 2. You're going to write an essay. Now, I'm not really sure how many times nurses have to write an essay in the hospital setup. So this is just sad, knowing that the writing requirement is apparently high. Only the United States of America does not require a specific band score in the writing subtest. So even if you get 5 in writing, you can still work in the American hospital and earn as much as 200,000 pesos per month. Now, if we're going to talk about the speaking subtest, for IELTS, literally, you talk about anything under the sun. So say, for instance, the examiner might want to open up about flowers, move on to gardening, to vegetables, to know. Paper, the traffic. You just have to be prepared to open your mouth right after you are asked. So that might be the disadvantage, because what if you are not that familiar with a specific topic? So it might pose a challenge for candidates who do not read a lot, because they might not be able to express themselves with specific topics they find complicated.
Did you know that you can change what you taste by what you hear? How can you use sound to make a deeper connection with your clients? Can we be healed with sound? Sound influences people in their buying decisions and their daily lives. In the podcast Audio Branding, I explore all of this, both with my own observations as a voice actor of over 15 years and by interviewing knowledgeable professionals in the field of advertising, marketing, music, and science. To have a listen for yourself, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com.
Yes. So, just a quick recap, siguro. Mm-hmm. IELTS is more cheaper than OET, right?
Yes. So, pero yung format niya is not specifically for clinical.
Yes.
Not, it's not more related sa nursing.
And more generalized.
But I also add to that. Because IELTS was primarily introduced for student visa applicants.
Oh, okay.
31 years after, it is the most popular for student visa applicants. But let us admit it, in the Philippines, student visa is not the most popular option. It is mm-hmm. just the third option. Mm-hmm. If you're a Filipino wanting to go abroad, the first two visas that you have in mind, either working visa or immigrant visa. I mean, why would you want to spend hundreds of thousands of pesos just to study? Well, that might be a point of entry for other countries. It's just that for people globally, they usually take the IELTS for student visa application, but for Filipinos, it's not really the most popular option. Mm. That is why I'm saying IELTS is most popular all over the world, but for the Filipinos who are not necessarily intending to study overseas, that might not actually be the most relatable in the hospital setting.
Yes, my point yun naman. Grabe, it's super clear. It's clear as a glass. For upcoming for graduation nursing students that wants to go to abroad, diba? So if they want to study, then choose IELTS because and if they want to go and work abroad as a nurse specifically, they can choose OET, but it's more expensive. Yes.
So, sir, can we talk about the formats of the IELTS para sa mga walang idea kung paano ba binibigyan ng grade or ano yung mga criteria. To have a good band score sa IELTS?
I'll talk about the four subtests very briefly. So we divide IELTS into two, the written exams and the speaking subtests. So when we say written exams, it's always listening which comes first, followed by reading and then writing. So in listening, you get to hear conversations or dialogues or reports, and then there are certain questions based on what you have heard. Now, what are the topics in the listening recording? As I've mentioned earlier, literally anything under the sun. Like, the speakers talk about the birds of London, something like that. But what about OET listening? The conversation is not between two strangers, but the conversation is between a nurse and a doctor, a nurse and a patient, a doctor and a nurse. So what is it that they are talking about? Not random things, but they are talking about the medical condition of a patient. This is why I am saying OET is not necessarily easier than the IELTS, but definitely more relatable, especially for nurses who are working in the hospital setting. Because what they're going to encounter in OET is something that they encounter literally every day in the hospital setup. Now, what about the reading subtest? So in IELTS, there are passages that are roughly long, let's say 750 to 1,500 words. And then one passage might talk about children's literature. Another passage might talk about sleeping on the job. So for IELTS reading, it assesses your comprehension and then random topics. But what about OET reading? OET passages focus on topics that can be encountered by our healthcare professionals. Say, for instance, one passage talks about vasectomy. Another passage talks about AH1N1 virus. So, if you are a medical practitioner, OET passages are those that you have possibly encountered while you were still in school. And then, IELTS has true, false, not given, and matching headings as a type of question. And really, for most candidates, they consider this mind-boggling and confusing, especially if they're not taught the proper techniques. Now, good news to OED candidates, there is no such thing as true, false, not given, no matching headings in the reading subtest of OED. It's purely multiple choice and fill in the blanks. Yeah, that's for reading. Now, for writing, as I've given you an idea earlier, writing task one is statistical writing and writing task two is essay writing. So minimum of 150 words for the first task, minimum of 250 words for the second task. So the minimum 400 words for the IELTS writing subtest, and that's for 1 hour. But for OET, there is just one task. You're going to write a letter, approximately 150 words. And what's the content of the letter? It could be a referral letter. It could be a discharge letter. So I'll give you an idea. Say, for instance, dear blah, blah, blah. I, say, for instance, Brian Martin Shawson, RN, staff nurse assigned to, you indicate the name of the patient admitted on insert day with a diagnosis of hypertension is now ready for discharge. So for home care instructions, the nurse needs to do this and that. The patient has to take this kind of medication. So you do not need to display your, let's say, virtuosity of the English language in OT. You just have to make sure that the details in your letter are correct and adhere to medical practice. Yes. So for the speaking subjects, As I've mentioned earlier, it's literally any topic in IELTS speaking. But what about OED speaking? It's more of a role play. What is the role of the interlocutor? The interlocutor is usually a patient, or it could be a doctor or a relative of a patient. Anyone you can possibly encounter in the hospital. But what about the role of the OED examinee? The OED examinee, the role is 100% related to the occupation. So I'm not saying it's just nurses who can take OED, even midwives, even physicians, medical technologists. So, for instance, I'm the nurse, and then I'm presented with case notes. Say, for instance, the patient is diagnosed with schizophrenia, and then in your dialogue, in your conversation, ask the patient the following questions. And then it's the nurse, it's the OED examinee who is going to initiate the conversation. So something like that. Usually people ask me, OED is like working in the hospital. It's just that you're using English all the time. So I'd say for our nurses in the Philippines, those who are working in Medical City or St. Luke's or Makati Med, they have the upper hand in OED, because chances are the rich English-speaking people of the Philippines would usually prefer to be admitted to these hospitals. Mm-hmm. So they have the upper hand, considering that they're already accustomed to talking to clients in English. Usually, those nurses who do not have patients who are usually communicating in English, usually they are the ones who are most likely going to have a difficulty in the OED.
So that's it. Just a quick recap. IELTS
is anything under the sun.
Yes. Listening, reading, writing, speaking, anything under the sun. If hindi ka masyadong nagbabasa ng libro, or hindi ka nung ganong Who Wants to be a Millionaire guy, yung sinasabi ko. Who Wants to be a Millionaire guy, yung alam mo lahat, better take the OET siguro, no? Kasi OET, just like what Sir Irvin said, it's more relatable. It's not easier, but it's more
relatable to your profession
as a nurse. Because what you are answering is not
random.
Yes.
It's focused on your career.
Occupation.
Your occupation.
That's why
Yes.
So we're talking already about OET. Sir, can you give us more pros and cons about taking OET, kung meron pa ba? Aside from those mentioned.
Yeah, the advantage of OET, the examiners are not English professors.
Okay.
The examiners are people representing that specific occupation. So I asked OET once, the education manager, David Wilshire, because he came to the Philippines several times, and then we spoke. So I asked him, why is it that OET is more expensive? Because it's exactly the same question that nurses have in mind. And he told me, because we're not just hiring random English teachers as examiners. For OET nursing, all the examiners are nurses based in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. They live in one city. Unlike IELTS, there might be a level of subjectivity because each country has its own set of examiners. But for OET, there's just one set of examiners and they're all based in one place. That's Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. So for people who have doubts, definitely OET examiners are credible because they are people who are good in English and good in that specific occupation. So I think that is an advantage for OET.
Yes, napakaganda.
Ang dami nating nakuha ng information.
Kung ako yung pinakinggan ko to, I mean, maano na ako. Parang
makakapag-decide ka kung ano yung kailangan mong itake.
So
and people. Yeah. Time is very precious. I don't want to waste other people's time. So if ever they decide to listen to this podcast, rest assured after listening, they're going to say, wow, that was worthwhile. I did not waste 30 minutes.
Yes.
Or 30
yes.
Minutes.
Yes. So we've talked about the pros and cons of yeah. both IELTS and OET. So, sir, merong mga usual... yung tinatawag natin na FAQs, frequently asked questions.
Yes.
Meron tayong mga ano dito, statements. We just want you to have some comments on the statement kung ito ba
sure.
ay fact
sure.
or myth.
Yes.
So first, ang yeah. sabi is OET is easier than IELTS or other English proficiency tests. Pero alam ko na banggit yeah. na natin to kanina pero let's
yes.
yung parang talk more about it. So totoo ba to na easier daw ang OET?
No, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Pero in terms, sir, of passing rate sa review center nyo, mataas ba ang passing rate ng mga OET examinees?
Okay, just to give you an idea, and for the record, I have to be very prudent
mm-hmm.
because OET and IELTS, they are both my friends.
Oh, yes,
now,
yes.
I want to be prudent, but at the same time, transparent.
Mm-hmm.
To give you an idea, because IELTS came first, and then OET is relatively new. Some of our candidates who did not get the required band score in IELTS took the OET and passed the examination. Now, for our candidates going to Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, before, they just have to pick between the two options, either IELTS or OET. But at one time in the past, UK strictly required IELTS for UKVI for visa application. So mm-hmm. even if candidates passed OET before, they had to pass IELTS for UKVI.
Mm-hmm.
But after quite some time, perhaps that was when UK realized, oh my God, we need more nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurses are going to other countries. Now, that's when they scrapped that requirement. You don't need IELTS for UKVI anymore. Even with OET, you can register as a nurse in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So before, people would usually take IELTS first. If they made it, if their scores are good enough, then they can proceed with the visa application.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case they're not quite successful in their first, second, or third attempt in the IELTS, that's when they consider OET.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, for the record, and I hope that this does not offend any of my
yes,
friends
yes.
working for IELTS, like for TAFSA mm-hmm. and IDP, I have to admit that more candidates pass OET than the IELTS.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that question.
So, second statement.
Just to add, because I've been following the OET, IELTS,
mga pages.
Servin, is there any chance of PTE being included in the lineup of,
mm-hmm.
being with IELTS and mm-hmm. OET as yeah?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm communicating with Mark Flores. He is like the country director for PTE in the Philippines. And during his email, he mentioned that it might soon be accepted by United Kingdom mm-hmm. visas and immigration, but they're just waiting for the perfect timing. So I don't want to preempt.
Yes.
So let's just wait for this one to be officially announced on mm-hmm. the website of PTE. But for now, I am telling you it's in the pipeline.
Yeah, it's okay. In the pipeline. So yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. So, second fact or myth?
This is the advantage if you're a speaker is someone who talks to all of these institutions.
Yes.
You don't just get any random English teacher talking about these examinations. You need to get someone who has the connections because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's all about credibility. And I cannot
yes,
put
I agree
my
on that.
Risk. I cannot sacrifice my image just because I mentioned something that's not accurate or reliable.
Yes. Yes.
So, next. British Council and IDP do not run the same IELTS test and have different standards on giving a band score.
Facts or myth?
Myth.
Yeah. Okay.
Why? Okay. You have to understand that it's not British Council. It's not IDP making the test paper.
Mm-hmm.
So IELTS is co-owned by three institutions. So there's Cambridge, British Council, and IDP. Now, there is no Cambridge office in every country, but in almost all countries, there is a British Council and IDP office. So how do I describe the two of them? They're more like distributors.
Mm-hmm.
It is Cambridge making the test paper. So mm-hmm. let me compare British Council and IDP to 7-Eleven and Mini Stop. And then mm-hmm. IELTS is like their brand. So when you go to 7-Eleven, the bear brand that you're going to buy is exactly the same bear brand offered by MiniStop.
Okay.
It's just that, why is it that some people prefer 7-Eleven over MiniStop and vice versa? There are a lot of factors to consider. Like, number one, proximity. Say, for instance, the candidate lives closer to Ortigas, so IDP is located there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the candidate lives closer to BGC, why would someone go to Ortigas if there is a test center in BGC?
Mm-hmm.
So that is one factor to consider. That's proximity. Number two, possibly customer service. So there are other factors that people use in deciding which test center to pick for their examination, but definitely it's exactly the same standard because they're using the same set of papers. What's different? The lineup of examiners.
Okay.
So IDP has its own set of examiners, British Council own set of examiners. At one point in the past, they shared examiners. But after 2010, that was when they did not share examiners anymore. So BC examiners don't go to IDP anymore and vice versa. So we do not say that they have different standards in listening and reading, but to a certain extent, there might be some level of subjectivity in writing and speaking because they do not have exactly the same examiners.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a myth. So, next statement, the level of difficulty of the test depends on the country in which the test is taken.
Yes.
Facts or myth?
Yun yung
myth.
That's another myth.
Myth.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Parang myth to lahat, ha?
The test paper is exactly the same all over the world. So, say
okay.
For instance, one day, let's say June 26, 2020, the examination being given in Australia is exactly the same examination being given in Singapore, same examination in India, and so on.
Okay.
It's just that there have been issues recently that people taking the examination in New Zealand are definitely ahead of the candidates taking the examination in India. So they might share, let's say there are Facebook groups. So someone who took the examination in New Zealand, okay, this is what came out earlier this morning, so perhaps those candidates taking the examination in Southeast Asia or in India can prepare for this one.
Mm-mm.
That's when they started to shuffle the questions,
okay,
but of the same level of difficulty. That is what you do not necessarily say that, oh, it is easier if you think if you're going to take the examination in this country or this part of the world. Again, it's the examiners that differ from one country to another, but if we're going to talk about the set of questions, they're exactly the same.
Okay.
Because I have also friends before.
Ang daming nagsasabi
yes,
niya, no?
Just a quick example, Sir Irvin. I have a friend before. He has taken the IELTS here in the Philippines for four times. And then she decided to take the exam in Vietnam, I think, or somewhere there.
Southeast Asia.
Yeah, Southeast Asia. And when she came back, you know, she had a 7 in writing, so
baka naman dahil ika fifth time na niya.
Oh,
praktisado na.
I don't think it has something to do with the standard of the examination, but I think in comparison to the other candidates, why? Because let's admit that an average Filipino is doing well in English.
Mm-hmm.
Like, since birth, we've been communicating in English.
Yes.
But what about the people of Vietnam? You have to understand that English is totally a foreign language for most of them. So if you go there, you're like the big fish in a small pond. So an examiner over there can definitely compare your performance, someone who is not local, as compared to the locals who are trying to learn English for the first time.
So
I think that is an advantage. That our English is better than most of our neighbors, but that is not to say that it is easier to pass the examination when you go to a different country just because standards are not the same.
Okay.
I think it has something to do with the background of the candidate vis-a-vis the locals taking the examination.
They're still abiding with the standards, I think.
Yes.
So if you want to take the IELTS, take it in the Philippines. Huwag kayong magasto. Malang ticket ngayon.
First, try to take it here in the Philippines. But if you have extra budget or if you're like restrained, that if you're like depressed, with lower self-esteem, lower self-confidence, anxiety, burden, frustration, trauma, stress,
but
that's consider. When you consider other Southeast Asian neighbors in the future, but not on your first
Di, kasi ano din it, hitting two birds in one stone. You take the IELTS, then you go gala.
But not while there's no vaccine for COVID.
Yes.
After na lang.
After muna. After.
They might not allow you to take the examination over there right now because they have quarantine rules. Mm-hmm, like, yes. If you arrive, of course, you have to stay in the hotel for 14 days. And God knows how expensive it is to stay in a foreign country for like 2 weeks. So, yes. Not now. This kind of situation. Yes. Perhaps in the future there's vaccine already, but yes. Definitely now is not the right time to experiment.
Yes, not right now. So number four, fact or myth in IELTS. Band score will improve the more I write over the word limit on the writing section. It's a fact or myth?
Myth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why? This is the advantage. The speaker has met IELTS examiners. So in the Philippines, there are 35 IELTS examiners, and I have met 20 of them. Mm-hmm. I've learned something from them, that they are not paid, let's say, fixed salary per month. They are paid by the number of essays. So imagine, if they are going to check super long essays, that will limit their income. Their objective is to check as many essays as they can, because that would mean they are going to have higher salary or more income. That's why they don't like it if writing tasks are too long. It will take forever for them to finish checking one essay. So in writing task 1, 150 to 250 words, that's acceptable. Then in writing task 2, 250 words to 350 words. But if ever you are able to consume the two sheets of paper and then you raise your hand, you say, "Excuse me, test supervisor, can you give me 9 more sheets?"
Wow. 9 more sheets.
If you're going to do that, then you have to prepare for 11,300 pesos for your next IELTS. If there is underlay, there is such thing as overlay.
Okay. Yes, all right. So it's not good to, you know, wag mong sobraan.
Mm-mm.
Yung sakto lang.
Yeah. At saka sabi nga, less words but more meaning. Yun yung mas okay. Yun yung pagkakaalam ko.
Can I also add that? Yes? Because I might forget about it, and this is very important. Mm-hmm. It's not the length, but it's the accuracy of your thinking. Yes. Say, for instance, you have written just 250 words, but you've only committed 2 to 3 systemic errors in the entire writing task. So chances are, the examiner will give you 7 because of your output that is accurate. But say, for instance, you wrote 350 words. You used big words only for the purpose of impressing the examiner. Mm-hmm. You used idioms that are totally out of context. It's like feeding yourself to the lions. It's like putting yourself on boiling water. Mm-hmm. What? Because your objective is to limit the systemic errors committed in your essay. Mm-hmm. So, I don't necessarily say that it is better if you write longer. In fact, this is what I say. Regardless of the length, you have to make sure that your English is accurate. Because at the end of the day, it is your proficiency level that is being assessed here. So how do you get a high back score? You don't have to learn complicated words. Instead, you have to go back to the fundamentals, the basics. You have to know when to use in, at, on, by, with, to, for, and so on. Instead of learning words that you don't even know how to use. Words like bucolic, words like quintessential.
Okay. So let's move on to the next
thing. Can I add something, Sir Irvin? Just a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Because I've heard that when you use compound and complex sentences, it would improve your writing score. Or is it okay to use simple sentences, but well-structured, organized, accurately. And accurate?
Okay. So, for the fourth criterion, in both writing and speaking, the complete name is grammatical range and accuracy. Mm-hmm. So, foremost, you have to be accurate. Mm-hmm. But there is the word range here, which means to say IELTS examiners do not want you to write short, choppy sentences.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prove to your examiner that the person taking the examination is not an elementary pupil, but someone who can construct compound sentences or sentences that are a bit complex than the typical grade school sentence. Mm-hmm. Now imagine, no matter how perfect your English is, you're not going to get a 7 in writing if this is how you write. I am happy. My mother is happy. My father is happy. I love my happy family. Like, wow, I'm very happy.
Perfect grammar, pero that's simple.
Like 4 sentences. A grade 1 pupil can do better than that. So what I'm saying is you have to avoid short, choppy sentences. Write sentence structures that are a bit complex, but not to the point that your sentence structures cannot be understood anymore.
Yes. Yan. Was clear.
Oh, so, ganda lang.
Ganda.
Okay, dumako naman tayo sa OET. So, in OET, You will be penalized just for exceeding the word count in the writing subtest. Is it a fact or myth?
Okay, it's not really a strict rule. If you exceed a bit, that's totally fine. But mm-hmm. if you're over 4, that's when you will be penalized for that. Mm-hmm. A little excess wouldn't really hurt mm-hmm. you. But when you write a very long letter, that's when you will get penalties.
Okay.
Number 6, myth and or okay. facts in OET. In OET ba to?
Both OET and IELTS.
Headsets uh-huh. will always be provided during the listening section in every IELTS or OET center.
Okay, let's begin with OET. So OET is a pen and paper based examination. If you are taking the examination in the Philippines, the setup is you are in a ballroom and then there are speakers. So no individual headsets are provided to the candidates. For IELTS, there are two options in the Philippines. You go for pen and paper IELTS or computer-delivered IELTS. Mm-hmm. For computer-delivered IELTS, definitely all candidates are provided with individual headsets. Mm-hmm. But for pen and paper IELTS, it depends on the location. But if you're taking examination in Manila, definitely you will be provided with a headset. But if you're taking the examination, say, for instance, in Davao or, let's say, Iloilo, there are places in the Philippines that still use the traditional sound system. So it depends on the venue, but definitely not everyone is provided with individual headsets in listening.
Okay.
That's for both IELTS and OET.
Thank you. Okay, so thank you for that. Number 7.
Okay.
In OET, the score required for B grade in the listening and reading subtests is the same for every OET session.
No, it's not. Okay. Why? Because it depends on the level of difficulty and also the performance of the other candidates. So this is usually the principle in English examinations. The more difficult the material is, the band score equivalents are lower. But the easier the material is, that's when the band score equivalents become higher. So for some people saying, oh my God, that was so easy, definitely I'll pass the examination. You can't be so sure. Because that's when band score equivalents become higher if the material is easy, and vice versa. Also in OET, they look at the scores of the candidates. So it's not as if it's you against yourself. That is usually the case in IELTS, but in OET, it's not fixed. So there is a tendency that you have to do good, that you have to be better than the other candidates taking the examination if you want to get the highest possible score of A in OET.
Okay. So let's move on to the last statement. Is it true that a native English speaker examiner can give you a higher score in the speaking test than a local examiner?
Is it a myth or fact?
No, that's a total myth. So just to give you an idea, I for one took IELTS twice. So why is it that I have not taken OET? For the simple reason that I don't fit the bill. I am not a nurse. I finished a degree in BA Communication Research from UP Diliman. That's why I cannot take OET. But for someone like me, I can take the IELTS. So what I did was I experimented. I took IELTS twice, one academic, one general training, one in British Council, and one in IDB. In both instances, I was assigned to Filipino examiners. So back to you. That's when I took the examination in British Council back then. She gave me 9.0 in speaking. So, Pamela Yu, as the name implies, she's Filipina Chinese. When I took my IELTS, Manuel Tuason of IDE gave me 8.5 in speaking. So, imagine, both of them are Filipinos, and yet they gave me 9 and 8.5 in speaking, respectively. Now, why is it that there are more Filipino examiners in the Philippines? Well, simply because we are in the Philippines. Like, there are 35 examiners. 20 of them are Filipinos, while only 8 are foreigners. Now, you do not necessarily say that just because the examiner is a foreigner, that's when you will automatically pass the examination. Your grade has nothing to do with the nationality of the interviewer, that is for sure. Regardless of the nationality of the examiner, if you are prepared, you will ace the examination. So I hope that you prepare not for the kind of nationality or the nationality of the examiner, but you prepare because you know that it's your English that is being assessed.
Yes, that's very, very true. That's very, very true.
Common misconception yun.
Yes. Kasi I've also heard many, one of my friends before, that when they say that when their examiner is foreign, they usually give higher
band score.
Yes.
Compared to Filipino na very strict daw ang mga Pinoy.
So hindi. Hindi yun true. Totally.
No, not at all.
Totally.
Okay.
Yes. So, Sir Irvin,
Let's sum up.
Sum up everything. So, which is which?
You're asking for my recommendation.
Yes.
Okay, so, if you're 100% sure that you want to go to UK, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, and you're a nurse working in the hospital setting right now, even if OET is a bit more expensive, I'd rather that you go for OET.
Okay.
But if you're the kind of nurse who's still totally undecided, okay, I just want to take an English exam because I know it's a requirement in going overseas, but I'm not yet sure where I'm planning to go, that's when I'd recommend that you take IELTS so that you can use it also for Canada and USA.
Okay.
But let's say, for instance, you're a nurse by profession, but right now you're working in a call center.
Mm-hmm.
There is no patient interaction. Or you might be a nurse, but for the longest time, you have not worked as a staff nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's when I answer that you go for IELTS.
Okay.
Because you rest assured you're familiar with the topics because they're general random topics. Unlike OET, it might require a specific knowledge of your occupation. It might prove disadvantages if you're going to take the OET and you have not worked in the hospital setting for quite some time now.
So
when you decide, you don't think of the cost. You think of the one that will maximize your potential in getting the required test score.
Why?
Because even if you go for the cheaper examination, but you're taking it like 3 times or 4 times, so still that is more expensive compared to one attempt of other examination. So never consider the cost in deciding.
Yes. Okay. Very, very clear. Very, very nice explanation. Thank you for that. Very
informative. Ang dami nating natutunan today.
Me as well, yeah. Marami akong natutunan. And Sir Irvin, where can we
I'm sure marami pang tanong yung mga listeners natin about taking IELTS, taking OET, and I think some of them are searching for a review center that could help them.
So how is Niners different from other IELTS review centers?
Okay, so number one, we don't just claim that if you go to our PCAMPA España office, you can see there all of our plaques since 2007 when we opened, indicating that we're number one. It's not a claim, it is official.
Yes.
At the same time, I don't hire random teachers. The number one requirement for you to teach at Niner, you must have gotten at least 7 in all components, but an advantage if you got 9. So who are my major lecturers?
Yes.
Number one, I'm conducting classes. So when I took the examination in IDP, so I got 9 in listening, 9 in reading, 8 in writing, 8.5 in speaking. Now, when I took the examination in British Council, listening 8.5, reading 8.5, writing 8, speaking 9. I have to make sure that I am teaching on a weekly basis because I'm the face of the review center. They are looking for a specific instructor. Now, what about our other lecturers? So here comes our quadruple niner, Philip Edward Aitona, who got 9 in listening, 9 in reading, 8 in writing, 9 in speaking, and 9 overall dance scores. But at the same time, we have the demigod of IELTS and PTE. So Brian Martin Shawson took the examination, and what grades did he get? A 9 in listening, 9 in reading, 9 in writing, 9 in speaking, 9 overall dance scores. So safe to say, he's like the first Homo sapiens sapiens, the first human being who got 9.0 in all of these components. He also took the examination, and he's scored perfect 90 over 90 in all of the components.
Wow.
So, we are not just claiming that we are the best. The scores of our lecturers dictate why we are number one.
Yes,
the approach is very personalized. So, you were asking earlier how people can possibly reach me or reach Niner. If they follow our main page, which is 9.0 Niner IELTS Review Center, you get to know that it's a legitimate account because it has approximately 107,000 followers.
Wow.
I am the one replying to all the messages, like
that's
literally
nice.
All the messages.
Very, very nice.
I get to respond to a minimum of 100 messages. So where can they find a review center? Where they can talk to the owner.
Yes. That's very, very true.
That personalized
very hands-on, Sir Irvin.
Perhaps our advantage.
Yes.
And even if you talk to recruitment agencies, visa consultancies, with the moment you mention Niner, they can easily tell you, yes, we get to talk to the owner.
Yes. That's very, very true.
With the continual there is a continuity in the teaching method. Why? Because our lecturers have stayed with us for like 10 years, 11 years, 12 years already. So non-teaching staff come and go. But for our teachers and lecturers, they're part of our institution. Well, they can perhaps earn more if they go overseas. It's just that it's the nobility of the job. If they stay with us, it gets to be more fulfilling. When people say thank you that they've helped, that we're able to help them get the required band scores and improve their lives. Because let's admit it, English examination is the number one stumbling block in the visa application.
That's very, very true.
It's the English examination. So at the end of the day, we can sleep well at night when our students thank us for helping them make their dreams come true.
Yes.
Sir, I have another question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, marami akong friends na nag-work sa Middle East and gusto nila ng mag-enroll sa isang review center pero it's not available within their proximity. Meron ba kayong mga online classes na pwede nilang ma-avail?
Okay, here comes pre-ECQ and post-ECQ. What? Before March 16, we only offered live lectures here in the Philippines. But perhaps you look at certain pandemics in a positive light. Because of COVID-19, now we started conducting online review classes. And I tell you, it has really improved the potential of our candidates for the Middle East. Why? We conduct lectures like 3 times a day, 9 a.m. to 12, noon, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., 6 to 9 p.m. And even candidates from the Middle East get to attend these classes. And then that's literally 7 days a week they can attend whenever they're available. Also, we have one-on-one coaching sessions from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And how much is this? Only 4,000 pesos, unlimited for 12 months. And what is 4,000 pesos if you're working in the Middle East?
So, yeah. So
don't want it to make it expensive because now we're in the midst of crisis and we don't want to overcharge. We want to help people in getting their visa. So the least we can do is, or the best that we can do, is to offer them affordable review services, top-notch lecture. At the same time, credibility, our 13 years of history as a review center.
So, Sir Irvin, how much does it cost for us to enroll to Niners?
The regular package is 6,000, but like what I've said, because of COVID, now we're only offering it for 4,000 pesos, and that's unlimited for 12 months. So whether you review for like 1 day, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, or 365 days, it's exactly the same cost, 4,000 pesos.
So I think the students will be given guides, lecture guides as well, right?
Yes. Every week we have the IELTS OET PTE orientation. It's Sir Brian Martin Shawson conducting that. Okay. And it's totally free. It's usually Saturday night or Sunday night. It depends. Like if for this week, it's Saturday night. Next week, Sunday night, then Saturday night, then Sunday night. So if they are not yet decided, if they want to have a free trial, that's the free trial that they can possibly avail. They just have to register for me and voila, they get to meet the legend, the demigod of IELTS.
So, Sir Irvin, last na lang question. Regarding sa IELTS, do you advise if, for example, we achieve the band score of 7 and we get to have a 6 in writing or 6 point six? Do you advise for remarking or? Which is which? Or do you advise to retake the exam? Yes.
I always go for remark. Why? Because as I said, there is a level of subjectivity. Like one professor can give you 90, but another professor can give you 95. Now, to name a few, here is Amara Burgos, a reviewee of Niner Picampa España, who initially got 6.5 in writing. After she went for remarking, it went all the way up to 8.0. Exclusive to writing subjects. Another reviewee, Kiara Nicolette Bautista of Niner Ed sa Taft Pasay Rotonda, was initially given a 6.5 in speaking, but after the remark, it also went up to 8.0. So for both writing and speaking, I had candidates who got as high as 1.5 increase. But really, the most unforgettable of them all is John Anthony Quinn. Initially, he was given 6.5 in speaking, and he was like, I don't believe this. Like, most of my batchmates were lecturers of Niner. So that's when he applied for Remark, and from 6.5, it went all the way up to 8.5. So could you believe that? Yeah, 0.0 increase from 6.5 to 8.5. Now, for some people, they might be thinking, 2.0, that's nothing. No. Because in high school, what is 6.5? It's like 75. But yes. What is 8.5 in high school? It's like 95. Yeah. So that's the distribution. That is the problem with human factor. Yes. There is subjectivity. Mm-hmm. So if you think that you're confident with your performance, whether in writing or in speaking, definitely 100% I support reaching. Yeah. It's not always a guarantee that you will get a higher bad mm-hmm. score after reaching. It's just that I am the kind of person who always tell people to take risks. Why? Taking risks and failing after that is still a lot better than just sitting down wondering what could have been if you went for recheck or not.
Tama.
Yeah.
Taking risk and then praying to God. Mm-hmm. Isn't it right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
At least no regrets sa huli, no?
Yes. So, I know, thank you for the very, very well informative discussion that we have today, Sir Irvin.
I think I'm the one who's supposed to thank you.
They thank you then.
Every day, but people ask me to do this for them because they feel, okay, I'm talking to this CEO, someone I cannot approach, someone who will just neglect or disregard my message. But no, you are a living example that no matter who, regardless of the background, I respond to all the messages.
Yes, thank you so much for being down to
earth. I do not know much about singing. I cannot even dance. I cannot cook. I cannot write. But definitely, I can inspire people. I can use my mouth to this God-given talent if I not use it for the greater good. So might as well respond to invitations like this. I don't have to be big. I just need to hear that people learn from my class. And that is the one that feeds me. That is my impetus in waking up every day and then moving on to greater heights.
We'd like to thank you from our bottom of our hearts.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Because you know, let's face it, English test is really, really hard, and you guys are making it easier for us to climb up the mountain
to achieve their dreams.
Yes.
Oh, maraming salamat po for being the instrument.
I can give a conclusive statement for our listeners.
Okay.
Yeah, for all our nurses out there, mabuhay. If not because of you, we cannot battle this pandemic. Now, if you're in the midst of crisis, I just want you to know that you have to believe that you can be better than who you are now.
Yes.
Why? If you choose to live your life as a victim of your past choices or of others' judgments, then you do not believe that you have the power to change it. I want you to unlearn this lie and starve your fears, because at the end of the day, when you keep on moving on, grace will come when you least expect it. And I promise it is all worth it.
Yes. Napakaganda.
Napakaganda.
So, that's it?
That's it. Ang haba, ang productive.
Oo.
Pero sobrang nag-enjoy ako.
Nag-enjoy ako, yeah. At this is, I think, one of the best episodes that I've...
Yeah, I think people will find the one-hour discussion boring, because 100% sure, I'm sure that our listeners and our audience learned information that they have never heard before.
Yes.
That's it. That's true.
And dito sa Nurse Hokage Podcast, aside from the good vibes, gusto natin na maka-reach out tayo sa mga needs ng nurses natin. And kasi it's one of their needs. Usually, especially dun sa mga gustong mag-achieve ng dreams overseas.
And I made this page for the nurses to help the nurses, generally.
So, once again, thank you very much, Sir Irvin.
Thank you too.
Yeah, keep in touch. Thank you so much. I hope this is not the last time that we will be having this kind of conversations.
Yeah, I'm a message away.
Yeah. Thank you. God bless. God bless the Niners.
God bless to all the nurses out there.
Yes.
And once again, this is Champ.
And this is Chito. Bye-bye. Paalam.